Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
This is Joe Beninati. You're listening to NBC Sports Washington's Capitals Face-Off podcast. Here he is. Here's your host, J.J. Regan.
Thank you, Joe. Welcome into another edition of NBC Sports Washington's Capitals Face-Off podcast. I'm, of course, your host, the Capitals correspondent, J.J. Regan. With me today, he's the Capitals insider. He is the Paul Schaefer to my David Letterman. He is Tarik El-Bashir. Tarik?
Paul Schaefer was way cooler than David Letterman. David Letterman probably made more money, you know, and he was the kind of the star of the show, but Schaefer was pretty cool with those neat glasses. I don't know, man.
I think
argument can be made.
As you said, David Letterman was the star of the show, which is why this is so apt. Moving on, what we will talk about today, we're going to talk about Andre Burakovsky and the terrible, horrible, no good, very bad season he's having. We will hear my interview with Jay Beagle. I got to sit down with Jay Beagle. And we will talk about some of the latest trade speculation. Tarik, how was your Super Bowl?
Super Bowl was good. It was kind of a laid back affair for me and the family. Typically, there's a party that we end up going to, either a family not in town or somewhere in the neighborhood. But we just kind of laid low. I do remember that the pizza joint that we normally order our pizza and wings from was totally overwhelmed, even though we placed our order 24 hours in advance. Really? It was 2 hours late. So you had a grumpy Tarik. I didn't eat till the third quarter. But other than that, great game. I had a great time.
You didn't eat. You didn't have your like seven dips.
Yeah, the chips were awfully good, but I needed substance. I needed some good food.
You know, real quick, because I know this is a tight show, but you know what I realized? You know, our first episode was reacting to the Super Bowl last year, so we have officially been doing this podcast for
a full year. Happy anniversary!
I know, isn't that sweet? Anyway, we're gonna move on. Let's start with Andre Burakovsky. Tarik, he did not play at all in the third period of Tuesday's game against Columbus.
Did you watch the first two periods?
Well, yes, I did. We asked both Burakovsky and Trotz about why he did not play and what now for Burakovsky, and here is what they had to say.
Yeah, he mentioned a little bit of my maternals on the ice, and in just that game, I wasn't really feeling the puck. Every time I had it, I think it kind of bounced on me a little bit. And see, when I was trying to get around Jones during the first period, it bounced a bit on me. I had to look down, and he went over me, and just little things like that. I mean, I wasn't feeling the puck at all, and sometimes you have a night like that. And every time I had it, I was insecure in what I was going to do with it. And yeah, it's just sometimes you have that feeling. It's definitely not been easy. This is not really what I was expecting of this year at all. I mean, we still have the most important part left of the season. So I'm just going to get ready for the playoff and help the team as much as I can.
We know Andre's we've all seen it. He's a good player. I mean, we've seen it in the past. He was good in the playoffs and all that. He just hasn't found his game right now. And some of the decisions that he was making, I just sort of trying to get his attention a little bit. And I think Andre's going to be a guy that we need down the stretch. We've seen it. I need him. We need him. He needs to just find his game within our game a little bit. And it's been a struggle for him this year, for the most part. He really hasn't got a lot of traction, got hurt. But at the same time, he hasn't found his game. And there's certain things that we can help him as a coaching staff. We're helping him all the time, pointing out things to him, showing him a lot of film. And now it's really on Andre. He's not a first, second-year player. He's a fourth-year player now. And I need him. He needs himself to find his game. And we need him down the stretch here.
Tark, is this just a lost season for Berkey?
I think it's going to be hard for him to kind of get it back on track, at least fully. He does have the right attitude. We talked to him after practice. And, you know, sometimes you can kind of read a lot into body language and the things that people say and how they say them. And he certainly didn't sound like he was totally down on himself or totally lost confidence or, you know, was ready to throw in the towel on the 17-18 season. He said, look, you know, I'm going to keep fighting and I'm going to keep, you know, trying to make the corrections and do what I can do to help this team down the stretch, you know, get my game back in order so that I can help this team in the postseason. So, you know, sometimes attitude is half the battle. So I liked what I heard from Andre. You know, sometimes it's difficult for a young player. He turns 23 on Friday to kind of keep perspective. But it sounds like he's got a good head on his shoulders. Barry Trotz, he didn't sound frustrated, but he did kind of put the ball in Berkey's court. I mean, he said, look, you know, this is not a first or second year player anymore. This is a fourth year player. He now has to take it upon himself to find his game. We have shown him on film. We have shown him on the board. We have shown him in practice. Now it's up to him to make those improvements.
Yeah, at the end of the day, you know, there's just only so many messages you can send to a player. Eventually, you just got to play better. And
For Andre, anyone who watched that game in Columbus the other day knows why he got benched. It was poor puck management. I mean, there were just too many times. He was a liability with the puck on his stick. He was indecisive when he was moving the puck. He was indecisive when it was on his stick. It led to turnovers. It led to him, skating with his head down at one point, and Seth Jones just creamed him, at the offensive blue line. I mean, there were just a myriad of issues with how he was handling the puck. And once you get three or four, once you're struggling, you don't have a whole lot of cash in the bank in terms of how you played this season, and you have three or four bad turnovers, it just looks like you are off track. Barry said, I had to get his attention, so I sat him in the third period.
His last shift of that game was a turnover in the defensive zone, so it wasn't hard to connect the dots there on what exactly happened. You know, it's a rough season for a young player, but he's a young player. He's still got a lot of talent, and depending on when you listen to this, his birthday is on February 9th, so he will be a whopping 23 years old, fourth season, but still young, still developing in many ways. So definitely he hasn't plateaued as a player, but he has to play better than what we've seen so far this season. Up next, we are going to hear my interview with Jay Beagle right after a word from our sponsor. I'm here with Jay Beagle. Jay, this year the NHL put an emphasis on the faceoff, changed the rules a little bit. Well, it didn't change the rules, but sort of enforced the rules a little bit differently. But you're still one of the top faceoff guys in the league at 56.6%. What adjustments did you have to make to adhere to the new guidelines, and how difficult was that for you?
The new rules benefited me, so I didn't have to change anything.
They're gone.
And the new rules are gone. The first kind of, I'd say, maybe 20 games, they enforced it pretty good, and now we're seeing it back to the way it was last year. So for the new faceoff rules, you know, the first 20 games, it was nice because the offensive guy also had to set his stick, which gave me and a guy like Lahr, who take a lot of D-zone draws, a little bit more of an advantage, just because they weren't allowed to come flying through the dot. And now, we're seeing the same as last year.
How much time does it take to hone your faceoff skills and continue to be one of the top faceoff guys in the league?
It's something that I've always just wanted to work on, the main thing about faceoffs for me, I think that a lot of people don't understand, is it's a it's a team stat. I mean, a lot of draws are won a little bit behind you or to the side, you know, either side, and either the wingers or in the D zone if the D is on your right or left side. You know, they, you know, come in and it's a scrum to get that puck. I mean, there obviously is a little bit to it and for the center, but it's also, you know, very team oriented, I think. I've always thought that. I've just always thought that it's more of a team stat than people give it credit for. And, you know, when you're playing with good wingers who want to win that draw and D-man also want to start with that puck and really put an emphasis on it, you know, it helps. It also helps your game, you know, to make sure you're not chasing the puck anymore and that you are going after them.
Looking ahead a little bit now, the team is preparing for its third outdoor game, your third outdoor game with this team, in fact. Are those still special? You know, we haven't jumped the shark on those yet. And tell me about what those mean to you.
Yeah, no, they are cool. They're obviously really special when you get to play outdoors because I grew up playing outdoors. So it's always fun. It's always just a special thing to be a part of. And the first one I just got called up for. So that was obviously pretty cool. You know, just jumping right into it, so that was definitely special, and you know, it'll be special again to play in Annapolis.
And then looking way ahead, you are on the final year of your contract. You spent many years in Washington. Have you had any talks with the team? Have you given any thought to your what your future may be here?
Yeah, no, there you know, hasn't been any talks. Obviously, I don't like to really think about it during the season. You know, it's a blessing to be able to play this game. It's a blessing to be able to be here for as long as I have. I never would have thought that. And I don't ever take anything, try not to take anything for granted. You know, and when the time comes, we'll think about, you know, future when that time comes. For right now, I'm worried about winning a Stanley Cup.
That was Jay Beagle. Jay, thanks for hopping on the podcast.
Thank you.
Big thanks to Jay Beagle for hopping on the podcast. One of the, a fan favorite. But you know what, Tarik? I'm looking at the salary cap. I'm looking at where this team is and some of the players that are coming up, and I'm thinking this may be the last year for Jay Beagle in Washington.
It could be. He's been a great story. You know, he's a player who really has had to work for everything he's gotten. You know, he wasn't a first round draft pick or had, you know, great pedigree, and you know, came in with you know, some entitlement, and you know, he had to really scrap and claw and fight his way to the point where he is right now. And you know, it's you ask him after he retires, I bet he'll say, you know what, I surprised myself a little bit getting that many years in the NHL. It's been a great story, and you know, obviously fans love him because he's got a great personality. But more importantly, he just plays hard. He doesn't give up on pucks. He blocks shots. He pays the price. He does all those little things that, you know, if he had better hands, you know, he'd be a second line center, maybe even a first line center. But you know, he is what he is, and he does that job very, very well. And you're right. You can kind of look at what they've got in the pipeline, and you know, they've got to re-sign John Carlson. They've got to re-sign Lars Eller. I mean, there's a lot of people that need contracts, and they're pretty close to the salary cap ceiling. So it's going to be difficult to keep everyone. If Beagle were a little younger, I would say he would be on track to get another contract here. I think this is just one of those situations where they're going to have to replace him with like a Travis Boyd or something, yeah. You know, someone who's on a minimum contract to afford the raises that the top guys have to get. It's going to stink because he's one of my favorite guys to deal with. Hopefully
he's great, always great.
Hopefully they can figure out a way to keep him, but it's going to be tough. And you know, hopefully that results in, you know, a really, really hungry Beagle down the stretch here, as you know, they need everyone on board giving it their all. He always does, but hopefully that'll result in a little bit of extra motivation for number 83.
All right, we're going to talk about the latest trade speculation, especially what is going on in New York, right after a word from our sponsor. Welcome back. Tarik, the latest trade headlines have to do with the New York Rangers, who have actually sent out a letter to their fans saying that they are sellers at the trade deadline. Now, you got to love
the transparency. It's been a long time since they've been sellers at the deadline.
I know. You got to love the transparency there, but they are going to be sellers at the deadline, and that means...
Poor Hank.
Poor King. Poor Hank, absolutely.
I
but
like him.
They are waving the white flag, and that means that the big names, everyone's looking at the big names and where they could go.
No, JJ.
The big names.
No, JJ.
We're going to talk
about it.
The
Capitals are not getting Rick Nash.
We're going to talk about it.
Not getting Ryan McDonough.
The big names Cats fans want to know about are Rick Nash and Ryan McDonough.
Tark, I just told Cap fan number one.
Do you see either player being on the Caps radar?
No.
And
no.
Do the Caps have enough assets to sell to get either? And would the Rangers even be interested in dealing with a division team like the Capitals?
I don't think they have an issue dealing with a division team because they just have acknowledged that they are out of it. I mean, anyone who watched that Rangers-Boston game last night knows that they are checked out.
Yeah.
They are worried about what the team's going to look like going forward. They were not worried about that game last night. Their minds were not in the right places. I mean, there was a 2-on-0 at one point.
Not ideal.
I've watched 46 or so of my son's Bantam games. I've not seen a 2-on-0. I mean, that's pretty hard to do, man. So, yeah, they are checked out. It's time for them to sell. It's time for them to rebuild, retool. They got to figure out what they're going to do with AV. That's going to be a difficult decision. I was reading a Larry Brooks column in the New York Post a couple days ago where he laid it out pretty clearly that they're at a crossroads right now. But, you know, to get back to your question, look, Rick Nash – would he look great on the third line left side of the Capitals? You know, sure, but it's not happening. The Rangers will be able to get more from other teams than the Capitals were able to offer. Ryan McDonough would be a great fit. Another guy whose other teams are going to be able to give more. The Capitals are going to make a move. I can promise you that. I shouldn't promise anybody anything. But
that's bold.
They will make a movie. They will make a move. Not a movie. They will make a move. Sorry, I am sick and kind of I've taken a lot of DayQuil today. I'm hallucinating a little bit. trying to hold it together for you. That's why my voice sounds so scratchy. But anyway, I would see them possibly in the market for a 5 or 4 type defenseman. I'm not talking about, you know, a Weber or, you know, someone who, you know, is just going to be in the press box in case. They're going to try and get a defenseman who can play. I've been told this. I've heard this. It makes sense. Keep your eyes on the teams that are clearly out of the race. Buffalo, Arizona. Look at their left side, left-handed 4 and 5 defensemen. Those are the kind of guys the Capitals are going to target. And hopefully we'll be able to land one without giving up too much because, let's be honest, they've given up a lot in recent years. But, yeah, it's going to be fun to watch the Rangers sell off if you're not a Rangers fan, but it ain't going to involve the Capitals.
All right. First off, when it comes to trading with a division team, if you're in a rebuild, all of a sudden, what does it matter to you?
Who cares?
Because you're not – these guys aren't going to come back to bite you in the butt in the playoffs because you're acknowledging you're not going to be in the playoffs. Especially with a guy like Rick Nash who's on the final year of his contract. So no matter where you trade him to, he can sign where he wants anyway. So it really doesn't matter at all. When it comes to whether or not the Cats will be interested in either of these players – they're both good players. The Capitals' priority is defense. Defense is what they need to improve. And so I don't see why would they pay whatever the price tag would be for a guy like Rick Nash, especially given his cap hit, use up all your remaining cap space and all the assets you have to acquire an offensive player when what you need is defense. That doesn't make any sense to me. I don't see it happening. The asking price is going to be too big for them to be in that sweepstakes to fix something that isn't even their top priority. When it comes to Ryan McDonough, he'd be a great fit. He would be exactly what this team needs. The one problem, well, there are two problems. One, the asking price is going to be high. And two, I really think that the Capitals are going to be looking primarily for a rental because right now the concern has to be having 2 rookie defensemen in for the playoffs. The concern next season has to be getting those 2 players as much playing time as possible, and that becomes more difficult if you add another defenseman to the roster. All of a sudden, that's less playing time for them, and it makes it difficult to re-sign John Carlson, which we know Brian McClellan wants to do. So I don't think that makes sense either. So I really don't see either player coming to Washington. I know people are excited about it. I know both players are big-name players. And a lot of times you don't see a whole lot of big names getting available before the trade deadline. But I really don't see either of these players coming to Washington. If you want to have your question read and answered on the next podcast is a mailbag pod. You can send it in to capitalsfaceoff@gmail.com. If you like the podcast, you can subscribe anywhere podcasts are available, and be sure to give us a good rating and review. I've been reading some of the reviews. A lot of nice stuff people are saying. We really appreciate that, and those things really do matter to help spread the word about the show. So if you like the show and you want it to become more popular, you want it to succeed, please take the time to give us a good rating and review, because that stuff really does matter. For the ailing Tariq El-Bashir.
I'm not ailing. I'm dead. I just passed.
This is JJ Regan. Now let's get the puck out of here.